Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Hallelujah. Can you feel that wonderful peace of the Holy Ghost tonight? Ask God to fill you with His Spirit. Ask Him to touch you.
Jesus.
We love you, Lord God, and praise your name. Thank you, Jesus.
What a wonder you are.
Just like that wife needs to hear the husband say, "Honey, I love you." Just like that man needs to hear that woman, that wife say, "Honey, I love you." Sometimes we got to just look up towards heaven and say, "My Lord, my God, my Savior, Jesus, I love you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Lord God, for your love that you give to us. Thank you, Jesus." Hallelujah.
Like the bright morning star.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's just close our eyes and worship Him as they sing this one more time. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
We praise your holy name. We worship you, Lord.
What a wonder you are.
The Bible said there's no other name given to men that thou shalt be saved. That's that wonderful name, Jesus. Can you just call on Him tonight and worship Him and praise Him? Hallelujah.
So pure and so kind.
Praise you, Lord God.
You shine.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Like the bright morning star.
Nothing greater to see people worship God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
What a wonder you are.
You know, when a man thinks about when he first fell in love with his companion, you know, and I could think of my parents getting upset with me because I'd be on the phone too much. You know, son, you need to get off the phone. You know, it might be somebody trying to call, and I'd be on phone with my wife. It wasn't a wife yet, it was my girlfriend. And they'd say, you know, you need to maybe clear the lines a little bit. And her parents would be on the other end sometimes saying the same thing. You just couldn't be on the phone enough. You know, I'm still in love, you know. But you know, the Bible has an exhortation in the book of Revelation says to turn back to that first love. And you know, when you think about when Jesus set you free, if He delivered you from drugs or alcohol or from immorality, perversions, whatever it is, and you really felt like He lifted that weight of sin off of you, man, you just couldn't fellowship and talk to Him enough, could you? You wanted to be talking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, and loving Him, and things like that. You know, and the Bible says, you know, we need to turn back to that. We should never have departed it, actually. We need to keep our relationship with Him and praise Him. And He'll fellowship you in praise. This is where He'll come and fellowship you when you're just loving Him and praising Him and thanking Him. You say, well, I don't know if I have anything to be thankful about. And I say, yes, you do. I'll tell you what, if you got breath in your lungs, that's not what you're thinking about. Because breath is temporal. It's here for a moment, it's gone. But if you got breath in your lungs, you got something to thank Him about, because He could still grant grace unto you, and He could set you free and set you apart and save your soul. Amen. So you got something to be thankful, because you have hope in Christ. Amen. Boy, it's wonderful to serve the Lord. Amen. It's good to have Brother Lambert with us here this evening. Always an honor to see him. And I just love the brother. Amen. You know, and we say oftentimes what the Bible says, you know, you pass from death unto life when you love the brethren. And you know, it's always wonderful to see brothers in the Lord. Amen. And I like coming to church and seeing the brethren come out to worship and fellowship God. You know, people need a brotherhood. They need fellowship. They need to unify together. And, you know, in the day and hour when we've got a smorgasbord of religion, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I'm not sure why I want to eat. Well, we can go over here to Golden Corral. You know, you might want Mexican food, and this guy might want a little Chinese food, and this one over here might want a little American food. And Brother Paul would for surely want some redneck food. But but you know what I'm saying? You got anything you want. And see, they're trying to do that in the church. Well, we're just going to give you anything you want. Sorry, we don't have a smorgasbord here. Amen. We got the Word of God. And we're going to stay with the Word line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, that's what they all say. But then why did we reject and take some of the Bible away? Let's stay with the Word of God. Amen. So let's don't try to, you know, weigh things out and look at things. Well, this is what I'm accustomed to. This is what I'm used to. Well, maybe what you're accustomed to, what you used to, may not be right. I think about me walking and pressing and traveling the United States as an evangelist. And you know what? I had air in me. I had things that I thought were, that I had the Word of God for. And thank God for a spirit-filled man of God that took time to love me and talk to me and rebuke me and reprove me. And I started pulling these things out of the, you know, out of the intellectual basket, saying, hey, wait a minute. This ain't lining up with the Word. You know how many people, they use things and they'll say, well, this is what I believe. And I say, well, you have any Bible for that? Well, this is what I believe, though. What just, do you have any Bible for it? You know, I used to tell people, I say, if you don't believe in the Trinity, you'll go to hell. Can you show me Trinity in the Bible, brother? Yes, has anybody seen the word Trinity in the Bible? So how can I use a term and tell you you're going to go to hell if you don't believe in the Trinity? I believe in the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. Don't misunderstand me. And he said, well, that is the Trinity. But then why do we use terminologies of that? You know, if you don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, I just can't walk with you. Well, I do believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I believe in the post-tribulation rapture. I believe in the mid-tribulation rapture. What are you going to do with that? Well, you're just mixed up. Well, what makes you think there can't be three? Does anybody going to contest there can't be three raptures? And I'm using a term that ain't even Bible. See, I got you again, huh? Show me first in the Bible where it says anything about rapture, and we'll talk about it. So you're going to hold me accountable, believe in something that's not Bible? Well, the Bible doesn't say nothing about a rapture nowhere. But do I believe in a catching up? Sure I do. Do I believe in winning the redemption of the body? Sure I do. Do I believe in the transfiguration of this body? Sure I do. That's all Bible terminology. But we use terms and we say, well, if you don't believe like this, then, you know, I can't walk with you. Well, let's believe like Jesus believed. It said if they bring any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ brought, it said let them be accursed. The Bible's not for private interpretation. I'm not here to teach you what I think. Because what I think doesn't have to do with anything, but what I'm here for is to teach you what the Word of God says. I was teaching a pastor's seminar in Africa, and they said, we got a problem here in Africa. I won't express what the problem was that they addressed to me. And had a group full of pastors. And they said, we got a problem. Some believe this, some believe this, some believe that. And said, what do you think, Brother Rob? And I said, don't matter what Brother Rob thinks. Let's go to the Word of God. And that's what we do. We go to the Word. And the thing is, we don't go to partial word. We take it line upon line, precept upon precept. We go to every bit of the Word. And we got to find it line upon line. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Amen. And give me a little bit of time this evening, and maybe the Lord will help us and speak to us a little bit. That's why we're standing praying, and you can be seated. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your grace and mercy. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that your Word is real and that every man be a liar, Lord God. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to lead us, direct us, and guide us. Father, we know that the love we have for you, that you would never lead us into deception, Lord, or never let the devil get a snare upon us, Lord God, as we're sincere with you and love you and worship you and honor you. And Father, we ask you to have your way this evening. Father, I ask you, Lord, to let hearts draw tonight. Father, I ask you, Lord God, that we could take authority together as a unified body of Christ, and we could take authority over the enemy, that he will not confuse and boggle minds or even put dampers over ears or shucks over eyes, as the Bible says. Father, we ask you to open up hearts, open up understanding, Lord God, tonight that we could see and perceive and comprehend what day and what hour that we are truly in. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated this evening. It's really a blessing to see Brother Joel and his wife out with us this evening. We have called your name out to the Lord in prayer. Thought about you oftentimes, amen. And it's wonderful to be at the house of God. Brethren, there's There's things that I'm going to speak for you a moment. We'll go into some scripture here in a moment if the Lord allows. I could first start out with, I'm going to quote a scripture to you. But it says in Romans, the first chapter in the 20th verse, it talks about the unseen things of this invisible world being revealed by things that we see or things that appear. And I know when people come in here and they hear me speak, they might think, well, you know, this is a little different. Well, that's okay. You know, sometimes if we talk about eating, you know, we can go over here to get us a burger. You know, we know what a Burger King burger tastes like, huh? Or a McDonald's burger. And we pretty much know that. Or we can go over here and some of us, you know, go out a little farther and, boy, I'm going to go get me some Mexican food, you know. Other than Taco Bell, get some real Mexican food, you know. And they'll go do that. Another one will say, I'm going to go get me some Japanese food. And I like them all. We go down here, we go over to a Bangladesh place over here and eat some of their food once in a while. And when we've traveled in different parts of the world, we always try different kind of foods, you know. I'm not going to go over to, you know, Philippines and go eat American food. Let's find out what you guys eat. You know, dog wasn't that bad, guys, I'm telling you. The lady, when I'm standing in the car and I bought all this dog. It was cooked. I didn't know it was dog. I'm seriously, it was dog. And, you know, when I bought this, you know, because when I go down to Mexico, I just say, well, I'll just take the whole train. I'd share it with kids on the streets and stuff. And I said, well, I'll just buy this whole thing. How much? So I bought this whole thing, and there was kids all over the streets. So, man, I called some of these little kids over and started to hand it. Boy, and I mean, all of a sudden, we had a pile. I didn't, you know, they, I was getting ready to eat some, and the lady comes over, one of the ladies was working with, she said, you know what this is? And I said, got no idea. It looks pretty good. Doesn't smell bad either. She said, it's dog. And I said, like, woof, woof, dog? Yeah. Us Americans eat hot dog, don't we? Yeah. So we've all eaten dog before, huh? Come on. Yeah, and you know, like, bark, bark, dog? That's dog. Here, kids, have it. You know, woofy, here you go. Yeah. And I don't think I tried it. I don't know if I'd already tasted some of it or what, but I can't recall. But, you know, I ate cat one time. Almost tricked into that, but... You know, it was pretty good. It's kind of sweet meat. You ever eat cat, Brother Paul? And this was a mountain lion, but it was still a cat. Is a mountain lion a cat? Yep. All right, well, I thought we was going to get in the Word of God. Well, we're fixing to. I'm just working with you a little bit here this evening. But what I'm saying is that if we go out here in the natural and we think of the things and we look and people, you know, will eat of this and eat of that. And, you know, you might say, well, I'm Baptist and I'm just going to eat Baptist. Well, that's okay. You know, I think Baptists, they teach salvation message. They talk about Jesus and him crucified and resurrected. You know, praise God. Pretty good. You can get you a pretty good appetite there. You know, but the thing is the last thing I would do is try to make you think that I'm just going to grab a little bit of everybody and blend it all together and come up with my own religion. But you know what you're going to find is when the Pentecostal is chiding with the Baptist, he's using the King James Bible. And the Baptist is using the King James Bible to chide back with him. And then you go over to the oneness, and he's chiding with the Trinitarian with the King James Bible. And the Trinitarian is chiding back with the oneness with the King James Bible. The Calvinist is using the King James Bible to chide. So you see, evidently, they've all got some truths, don't they? Or they won't be in the Word. And but then yet, sometimes it's a matter of rightly dividing the Word of God, rightly differentiating the Word of God even, to bring an understanding of it. The Bible says very clearly that the mind of God, you know, God's ways are not man's ways. And the thing is when we read in the Word of God, we're going to read about some of man's ways. And we're going to read in other places in the Word of God, and they're going to be God's ways. And what we do is we have to learn to find out what is being said. Now, I've done this purposely. I could take you into 1 John 1, and I'm just going to paraphrase a minute. You can go look this up for yourself. But it teaches in 1 John 1, if you say you have no sin, that you're a liar and you deceive yourself. And there's no truth in you. But then I go over to 1 John 3, and it said that if you sin, you're of the devil. So if I stick with 1 John 1 without the differentiation of how the Word is speaking, and I go to 1 John 3, then I'm going to have to say, well, I'm of the devil. Now, I'm not of the devil. I have a Father, a Heavenly Father. I got a spirit in me that cries, Abba, Father. So the thing is, I'm not of the devil. I'm a born-again new creature in Christ Jesus. That part that was made in the temporal image, the part that was made in the corruptible image, the part that was made of me, the fleshly part that goes back to the dirt, you see, that was in the fall and the transgression. Okay, so if I want to talk to you as a man, I could talk like the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? But then yet, if I could talk to you as a new creature in Christ, a born again, you see, he speaks totally different. So now when I speak as a new creature, you're going to think, well, you can't say that. You're just a man. No, the man was crucified with Christ and no longer lives, and now it's Christ that lives, according to Galatians, the second chapter. You know, Paul made the statement, and these are scriptures that you're very common with, but Paul made a statement. He said, I would like to speak to you as unto spirituals, but I find you yet carnal. But he said, I want to speak to you as spiritual. So how do I speak to a carnal person, and how do I speak to a spiritual person? Now, see, a spiritual person could rightly divide the word of God, and he could receive. You see, if I've got an inner man, and I got an outer man, you know, that's Bible. I have an inner man, an outer man. So if I have an inner man, how does the inner man talk? If I have an outer man, how does the outer man talk? What is the destiny of the inner man? What is the destiny of the outer man? You see, and so we start differentiating body, soul, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, first, second, third heaven. Now these are very common teachings in the scriptures and the word. He said, I don't know whether it's in body or in spirit, but I know I was caught away into the third heaven. If there's a third heaven, there's got to be a first and a second. One has to do with the body, one has to do with the soul, and one has to do with the spirit. The thing is we got to have the Bible for a foundation and a word. You know, most people rend the Bible in two. They'll say we got an Old Testament and New Testament. Okay? Well, I rend it one more time. We got the Old Testament, New Testament, Book of Revelations. Now, am I making a theology out of this or a doctrine saying this is what you must believe? No, I'm just telling you that I break it apart again. Because the aspect of the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that said if you add or take away from this that you'll receive every plague and every curse in this book. That's not talking about the whole book. If it's talking about the whole book, then we're going to have to rip out the New Testament. Or we're going to have to rip out something else, ain't we? So, you know, it's talking about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation shows a completion. There's an amen. It's a finishing. It's a complete. It doesn't need anything taken away or anything added to it. It is absolutely complete. It brings the fullness of everything into an absolute revelation and an understanding. When we think of the book of Revelations, and then if we can go into the Old Testament, I'm going to be telling you can go look these things up. But in places, the Old Testament is considered shadows, the book of shadows. And you say, well, why would it be called shadows? Why would it be a shadow? We know that the Lord Jesus is an object of worship. And I say these things, but I'm just prompt in thought. I haven't got to where I'm going yet. But if Jesus is the object of worship, and we take light, and now y'all know this, here's light, here's an object. I set the object right here. What do I got here? I got a shadow, is that right? So, if we got a light, and we got an object, we got and a shadow. Those are three things again, okay? Now, the thing is if the Old Testament is shadows, what is it shadows of? It's the shadow of everything pointing to our salvation, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The killing of the bulls and the goats and the killing of the calves and all these different things were showing a shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ for the atonement of your sin. All these things all the way through the Old Testament. You know, the going in and killing out cities and every animal and every man and every woman said, don't bring no spoils. I was showing to keep the bloodline pure and clean all the way through to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a shadow of showing something else. Now when we get over into the New Testament, we find that Jesus, you say, well, this is the real genuine object here. This is what we've seen. But then yet we go into the Bible, and when he resurrected, they didn't recognize him. Come on now. Y'all know this is right. They didn't recognize Jesus when he resurrected. Ones that walked with him every day, that were seeing him every day when he resurrected, they didn't know they're walking him, and until their heart burned within him and he spoke, then they'd think, well, this is my Lord and my Savior. You see, and we think, well, why? Well, we could talk about the appearing in another form. So where are you going with this? Well, the thing is if we go over here to this New Testament, we say the object of worship, Jesus, what was the point of him being here? You say to bring salvation to us. Okay? Well, then we can go to New Testament doctrine and we're not to know no man after the flesh. And we're not to know him in the image that he came in, but we're to know him in what? The resurrection. Okay? Now, when he walked among men and he came along and Lazarus was dead and he was in the tomb and stuff like that, and they said, are you speaking about the resurrection? Is he going to come alive in the resurrection? And Jesus said what? He said, I am the resurrection. Isn't that what he said? He said, I am the resurrection. And you say, well, he hadn't been crucified yet. How can he say, I am the resurrection? Now, the thing is, the Bible does say this. And you can look these things up and say, beloved, now we are the sons of God. That's what the Bible says. You can go read it. You go over to 1 John 3 and you can read all about it. You know, beloved now. Not beloved someday you're going to be a son of God. Beloved now. Now, some people are waiting for the kingdom of God to be established, but the kingdom of God is now, according to the word. Well, where's it at? The kingdom's within us. So now we have an inner man. We have an inner kingdom. We have an outer man, and it has an outer kingdom. So we got to start differentiating between this inner man, this outer man, this born again, this new creature, and the flesh, the carnal mind. A lot of times people get, you know, they think that maybe I'm caught up in the do's and don'ts. And they would hold me because I'm a Pentecostal. I'm careful in saying these things because I don't line up with a lot of them, but I'm numbered with the Pentecostals or the holiness preachers, okay? I have many differences with many of them. It doesn't make them bad, doesn't make me right. I'm just saying I've got some differences in the scriptures and the word of God. I'm not firing on them. I'm just saying I'm called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And over the many years, there's been a lot of infiltration of a lot of things in a lot of doctrine. There's been a lot of infiltration and denominationalism. My Bible said that Jesus is the same to every generation. The Bible said, woe unto you that's given to change. Okay? Now the thing is if I don't know how long you've been serving God, but I look at the changes that have taken place in the overall churches around the world and in many of the denominations. There's a lot of denominations that they were known for something that they really believed and stood on, and all of a sudden that's not important no more. They just don't do it no more. It don't seem to matter no more. And I could go in and name some names of some denominations that the founders of these denominations that have been gone for many, many years would be so sickened in their heart to see the allowances that these denominations or some of these different type or sects of people have made. It would be heartbreaking. Now see, my purpose here ain't to hammer or to expose all the failures of religion, but why have they changed? What is the motive of the change? Why are we making and opening the door for so much secularism in the church? The worldly people know how to gather people together. Go to your rock and roll concert. Go to your state fairs. Go to your county fairs. Go to your ball games. They know how to get thousands of people together. Okay, well, the church isn't a pattern after that. But so what did the church do? They started bringing in the rock and roll. They started bringing in the country western. They started bringing in the sports, and all of a sudden we got the Baptist versus the Methodist or whatever ball team. Yeah, that's not the church. Could you see Jesus being part of that? You say, well, we got to do those things for the kids. The kids? Watch the adults. Have you heard about the fist fights bringing out two dads, you know? No, he was out, and the two dads, yeah, boy, that's bringing glory to Jesus, ain't it? I'm just talking a little bit. Hear me out. Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. So we're just speaking and building a little foundation here and trying to understand what's going on in the religion, what's going on in the churches, what's happening everywhere. Do you know how to judge things by the mind of Christ, by the mind of God? Now you do know that in many doctrines and many teachings, they teach people that you can't judge, don't they? You can't judge. You can't judge me. But is that Bible? We know it's not Bible. We know it's absolutely heir to the Word of God. So then we got to say, why do we teach these kind of things? Well, we got to go to the Word and learn the Word. Is that right? We got to learn the Bible, learn the Word of God of what we're supposed to do. And let me tell you what the Bible said. It said the least of you, the very least of you in the church, the very least of you could judge all matters. And you know that the very least in the church, you know what they're going to judge? They're even going to judge the angels. Now, when the Bible teaches us, it said, beware when you entertain strangers, for unaware you could be entertaining an angel. And what do you think? What does that mean, Brother Rob? Well, it means a whole lot of things that people don't consider and understand. Now, you know, you hear the reports, well, you know, my grandmother was in a car wreck and she saw this individual show up on the scene and he was really illuminated. Man, he said his clothes were just illuminated white and got her out of the car and the car blew up and the car burned and nobody could find this guy. Do you believe those things? Well, sure I do. I'm believing a supernatural God, brethren, and he could do a lot of things. You know, but if that's our only account of a visitation of an angel, we've really missed the coming of the Lord, honestly. You understand what I'm saying? So what is this entertaining angels? Well, I'll just tell you what Jesus said. How's that? Would that suffice or answer your question? When he said, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. And would that be the angel of the Lord? Come on now, think about it. Could that be the angel of the Lord? He said, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was in the hospital and he said, but Lord, when was you there? What you done to the least of these, my brethren? Now the Bible said we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're part of the many-membered body of God. We're the body of Christ. Is this right? Okay, so if we're the body of God, then the thing is that he sends us into the world to preach the gospel, to bring good news and glad tidings unto men. And I go knock on a man's door and he rejects me. Who did he reject? There you go. That's exactly right. That was his visitation from the angel of the Lord. And he refused. Be careful when you entertain strangers unawares. Maybe an angel. And it could be something that caused you to lose your own soul. There's things that take place in the things that are temporal and the things that are seen to show us what's going on in the unseen world, the spiritual world. Now, how many of you know that the Father's invisible? That's what the Bible says. It uses the term invisible. That's not a person. The Father, the Bible said the Father is a spirit. That's what the Bible says. Okay, Catholic Church is the one that made him a person. The Father's not a person. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. The highest height you go, the deepest depth, if you've gone down, you find him. Okay? And you say, well, that's speaking about Jesus. Well, he said, I and the Father are one. So if this Father is a spirit and he's invisible, and the Bible says that the invisible things are eternal, and the things that are seen, the visible things, are temporal. I can show this to you over in the New Testament. It's all there. So what you see in this world is temporal. It's all vanity, all vexation of the spirit, the Bible says. So don't put your trust in this world. Don't put your trust in the flesh. Don't put your trust in your government. Don't put your trust in your military. Put your trust in the only thing that can be trusted, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's him alone. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. It's all about him. The thing is that I watch things. You hear me say this. The Bible talks about allegories. The Bible talks of even Jesus spoke in parables and parabolic speech, and there's many things. It talks about Mount Sinai, and it compares to a woman. And so we're going into these allegories and thoughts, and we see something taking place over here in America right now. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and you may agree or disagree, but I'll just leave it with you, because I know God, how he speaks to the generations and the people, and there's things that repeat these patterns over and over again. Now, if I took you to where I started out over in the Old Testament, we call it shadows, but it was all showing us what was taking place in the New Testament. And I bring over in the New Testament, and I see Jesus coming and walking among men. Now, the Bible said he was the firstborn of many brethren. Okay, when you're born again, you're a brother of the Lord. Come on now. Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. I'm a son of God. We got the same Father. I'm a brother to the Lord. Now, this is all biblical. Okay, now, and we are to be Christ-like. We're to be like him. And this is what Jesus said. Now, you could get upset with him if you want, but I'm just telling you what he said. Okay? Are you with me? He said, you will do greater things than what even I have done. And this is what he said. Just Jesus said this. Okay? I'm going to say some things here, but we're going to go on from this. Does anybody know anybody that's done greater things than Jesus? Oh, yeah, he says. Now, that would sound very offensive. But, you know, when my father trained me to be a pilot, he would have loved to have seen the day that my skills superseded his. As a teacher and a trainer, he would have rejoiced in that. And you say, well, how can you become greater than Jesus? I didn't say you could. But I'm saying that he would have longed to see that. But Jesus said, we will do greater things. Well, Jesus raised the dead. He made lame to walk. He made blind to see. And you know, now listen to me. The Bible said we hear the end of the matter. And I say, now don't think, take this disgraceful. But what if I said, well, whoopee. That would insult you, wouldn't it? And I'd say you have the right to be. Because I wouldn't lightly esteem anything that my Lord and Savior Jesus done. But you see, you're carnal and you're natural. You're temporal minded. You think like a man. You're happy because this guy come back from the dead. You're happy because this guy that couldn't walk is now walking. You're happy because this guy that couldn't see could now see, and you rejoice in that. Now I'm going to tell you better things than that. Because I'm going to tell you something. You could take a man that's blind. It's like the sister that wrote many of the songs that we sing in the hymn book was blind. And she said that if a prophet or somebody came and prayed for her and she received her sight, that she would reject it. She said she would reject to get healing to her eyes because she said, it scares me to think that if I start seeing with these eyes, I'll quit seeing what I see in another eye. Now, the Bible said this to people that had eyes that were looking at our Lord and Savior. It said, though you have eyes, you do not see. And then they were listening to him. And they said, though you have ears, you do not hear. Now see, Jesus is speaking to them in another dimension. You're not seeing what I'm seeing. You're not hearing what I'm hearing. You are carnal. You're temporal. You're hearing what's coming out of an audible voice. Now, I'm still building on this, so stay with me. When we go to the scriptures now, and the word of God, and he said, we're going to do greater things. Okay, well, you could take a man that is crippled, he can't walk, and you could say, he's in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Just like Peter done at the gate called Beautiful. And a man was lame from his mother's womb, and he got up, boy, and he shouted, and he jumped, and he shouted, and he danced. Praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. That's a wonderful thing. The Jews are seeking after a sign according to the word of God. This is something to vindicate that, hey, I've been with Jesus. That's good. We've done it here. We've opened up deaf ears before. Some of you here and witnessed it yourself. The little baby couldn't hear him. We prayed for it, and the baby miraculously got its ears open. We've seen people, the doctor says they ain't going to live 3 months. We say it's alive from hell. I say, thus saith the Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed, and you will not die. Amen. So praise God. We've seen those things happen. But you know what? This one that was healed from cancer, this one that had their life prolonged, they could still die and go to hell. So how great is it to take a death sentence of cancer away, but not take the death sentence of damnation? So what's greater? Now Jesus got people looking at him, and he said, though you have eyes, don't see. Now wouldn't it be a greater miracle than the natural miracle of getting natural eyes open to get your spiritual eyes opened? So if I could take a man that can't walk in the spirit, but man, he could run, he could outrun me, he could outrun this old fat boy and just like that. But then yet, I could take that man and I could look at him and say, you're lame. You are not walking. You see, the Bible commands us to be led by the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. Okay, so the thing is you might be walking and you might be a marathon runner, but you're lame. You need to get resurrected. You need to get legs that you could walk in the Spirit of God. So see, there's your greater things. If we would go, there's a reason these things are written in the Word. Now the thing is when we're talking about this invisible realm and the things that appear show something. America shows another Israel. Now Israel failed God. Now you can go read that all right there laid out in black and white in your Bibles. It said you committed adultery under every green tree. You know, and the thing is it goes on, you know, it was all the bloodshed for Israel and all the bloodshed for Jerusalem and all the fight. And this was God's chosen city, the city of David and chosen land. But God got sick of them. He departed from them. Come on now, he departed from them. They crucified our Lord and Savior. And they said, let his blood, speaking about Jesus, be on our head and on our children and our children's children. That's what they said. They screamed out. But let's talk about seeing the unseen things in the things which appear. This is something I didn't know, but the Lord spoke to me and said, what's going on in Ferguson right now has to do with Barabbas. And I think, well, how can this be? You know, and I started questioning the Lord. I said, okay, well, you know, I understand what Barabbas is. Now, how many of you know who Barabbas is? He was a criminal. A murderer. I mean, he was probably, as lowest class of a man, you know, for expression's sake, that you could find in that day. And then they brought the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in, and they're going to make a decision, they're going to make a choice between this innocent man and this thief. And what did they say? They said, give us Barabbas. Now you say, well, how could this be? Well, we got to think that things will run a pattern and they make a complete cycle. And I think of what took place in Israel. If I went back and talk about even the failure of Jerusalem, and we can go over to look at the city of Nativity, we could say Bethlehem. And I showed you the parallel of Bethlehem and Bethlehem there in Georgia, one of the greatest, most powerful works of the Lord. Just like the great birthing place of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Bethlehem of old. And they've turned it into a tourist attraction, so to speak. And it's really a wretched city. And so is Jerusalem. The Bible said Jerusalem's become spiritual Sodom. I'm just telling what the Bible said. Don't get upset with me like I'm speaking against God's land. The Word of God said that it's become spiritual Sodom. Okay, that's the Bible. Go look it up for yourself. Just remember those words, spiritual and Sodom, and go look in your concordance and you'll find it. That's what the Lord said about it. He was angry with them. He pulled away from them. He cut them off. But this is where he's at with America right now. That's what I'm taking this time for, to show you the pattern here of these things going. You say, well, what does Ferguson have to do with it? It has to do with the same thing. Is if you go back and you find that the beginning of bringing in this dispensational era of grace and bringing salvation, we're going to look at the beginning of this thing and it's going to close out the same way. And here we've got, now listen closely to me. I'm not going to make this a racial thing. I'm not going to make it a black and white thing. But even though the black shows a pattern here, it has a very allegoric sense. Black showing darkness, white showing light. And you think, oh, you're a white man and you're a male chauvinist pig or whatever. You know, that's okay. Call me what I'm just talking allegories. You understand that? God repented that he made man. I don't care if you're white, brown, yellow, blue, green, it don't matter. If you're a man, you need to get born again. You need to get filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can make eternal life. So I'm not holding to any racism here. But I'm saying there's allegories that are taking place. The name Ferguson means the son of choice, the first choice. And I'm thinking, well, why would this be the son of the first choice? Then the Lord's saying Barabbas. Now here we go. We go to what is Missouri known for, the Show Me State? What does the Show Me State have to do with? Why would they entitle themselves Show Me? And what this phrase came in Missouri is like, you know, don't tell me about it. Show me. You know, let me tell you, I'm a pilot. Shut up and show me. Let's go for an airplane ride. Basically, is what I'm saying. Well, you know, man, I'll tell you what, I'm the best tile man there was. Boy, you ain't never met no tile man until you met me. You know, and Andy Beach said, well, let's see. No, but I mean, that's what the phrase in the show me is. Show me. Well, here we go, and then we got this arch over there in Missouri showing the gateway to the west. And here we got right here in all this place, a very significant place, is the heartland of America, right there in the center of America. And here's this dispute going on, and the people are on national media, and they're screaming for the head of this cop. Happens to be a white cop named Wilson. Now, let me ask you, the one that they was wanting before, was he Wilson too? He was the son that was in the will of God, wasn't he? Okay, now see, God could be speaking to these things and say, man, you're fishing deep there, buddy. You're trying to really make some things happen. Well, I'm just telling you what the Lord spoke to me. And then I started kind of meditating on it and thinking about it. But why is it taking place over there? And what does it mean? What does it mean for America? What does it mean for the Jew? Do you realize that when Rachel brought forth Benjamin and Rachel died, then you got to go back and look. Then he went back to the first wife, Leah. See, this shows the Jews. And Leah showed the natural side of things, and Rachel showed the spiritual side of things. America shows the spiritual Jew. Now, I'm talking patterns now. America has fallen away, brethren. I'm sorry if that insults you. I'm an American too, but American has fallen away. It's done the same thing Israel did. I'm telling you, this is why we watch patterns. I look at the pattern that Israel done. Now, you think, well, how does America and Israel pattern the same? Well, when you go to the Sanhedrin, the highest sect of religious order at the time that Jesus walked among men, they screamed out to give us Barabbas. Come on now. They said, crucify him. When they brought Jesus into the court of the high priest, they smote him across the face. They mocked him. They laughed at him. They scorned him and they beat him. They done those things. Well, look what's going on in Christianity today. Shut your mouth. You can't preach the gospel. You can't mention your Jesus in our colleges here in America. You can't mention our Jesus in our government here in America. You can't mention our Jesus. He's got to be excluded from everything. But you could talk about Allah and Buddha and you won't get in trouble. Tell me, are you seeing a pattern here? So you see, we're the sons of God. We're the Christians and here we are being smitten. Now, how do you get this out of a cop shooting a black kid? Well, you see, the thing is it's the mind. Let me tell you, they've got video. Here's a police officer that goes into the hospital because they crushed the whole bone around his eye. He's in his police car and tells the kid to get out of the street. Now listen, I'm not a politician here. I'm not getting into politics, but I'm showing you something here of understanding wise. If the young man would have submitted, I'm saddened that a young man lost his life. I'm saddened. Now they put a video of this young man robbing a store on national wide TV. They put a video of this kid. It shows him going to store, strong-armed, physically handling, and robbing this store. And they said that the only reason they showed that video was a character assassination of this boy. No, they're showing that the boy was breaking the law and that he was on a run from the law. And we sent our law that we pay to protect our people in our city, which he violated and stole from people. And we send him out. Now we're wanting to crucify our man. Now, I know there's bad cops. Don't misunderstand me. There's bad cops that make bad decisions. So this isn't about upholding the law forces, but we still got to uphold what's right and what's decent. The boy was robbing people. The kid weighed 292 pounds and was 6'4". The policeman got in an altercation with him. He told him to get out of the road and he wouldn't do it. And he came up and he punched the policeman right through the car window. And then when the policeman was trying to struggle to get out of his car, he kept punching him in the face and his gun discharged. The kid ran a little bit and he jumped out and told him to freeze. When he told him to freeze, the kid was a few feet from him and he turned around. I'm just telling you, we're just trying to judge things righteously. He turned around. He goes, what are you going to do? Shoot me? With his arms up. And he started to pursue after him. Here's a man that's half dazed, number one, because they said about knocked him out with the skull injuries and things that he has, face swollen and different things. And here's this 292-pound man charging him. And if I was a cop, you know what I would do? And I'm thankful I'm not a cop and have to make these decisions. But I'm thinking, you know what? This guy's coming back to beat me some more. Come on now. What did they give him that gun for? Now, am I condoning death here? No, I'm not. Am I praising that the kid got killed? No, I'm not. I'm trying to just talk to you and say, why are the people over there screaming out to bring justice? Now, think about it. Even the governor of Missouri gets on the thing and he said, we're going to bring justice to Michael Brown's family. And we're going to do a very vigorous trial. In other words, we're going to move. No, they need to let things settle down that this officer is not going to be abused and try to make some kind of an example for other failed cops that have made bad mistakes. What happened with the Rodney King thing, brethren? What happened with some of these other history of things? It's the same thing happening. Well, now you're making it into a racial thing. Well, what I'm saying, I'm not making it a racial thing, but we need to understand what darkness and light has to do with. And there's an allegory and a pattern there. And I'm trying to speak to you of not so much about what happened in Ferguson, but I'm teaching you or speaking to you about the mind of the people in Ferguson saying, hey, you know, make the victim, just like I say, we as the Christians are the victims or we can't bring the gospel of Jesus in, but then yet they'll be on the same campuses and they'll be preaching and teaching things. They're doing marches in Florida right now, the Hamas chanting against the American people saying we're going to take your land and we're not going to stop until we have your borders from coast to coast and we're going to murder you. And your God isn't God, it's Allah. And we're allowing these things that are going on our streets. I'm just telling you where we're at, brother. And this is happening in America. We've got terrorist training camps going on in America, and we're given freedom to do that because they have a freedom of religion. But then yet we're over in other countries bombing these camps, but we're allowing it to happen in America. This is reasons and things we're prompted that we're being destroyed from within, brethren. Well, what are you? Are you a politician, preacher? Are you a patriot? And you're trying to get us stirred up that we're going to do something? Well, I'm going to pass out M16s right after the service. No. No. My Bible says this, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You see, I'm not in no flesh and blood fight. I'm not over there marching the streets over here in Ferguson. I'm just speaking to you as a minister, telling you we got to understand what's going on and why God's suffering is to happen. Now, do you remember Jesus spoke to us in allegories and types and shadows? Okay? And the thing is if we could go and understand that we got to see, and these are guidelines. The Bible says that, you know, talking, and I could stand corrected in how I put this, but young men will dream dreams and old men have visions, or vice versa. I'm saying I can stand correct that. But, you know, it goes over in the prophecy in Joel. And about, you know, pour out a spirit upon all flesh, and there's the rain coming down on just and unjust. There's a lot of things that are taking place. But America's in the closing segments, brethren. You could disagree or agree. That's here nor there. This isn't my doctrine. This isn't something. But what I'm saying, the Bible said it won't come on us as unawares. Now, how many believe in Bible prophecy? Come on now. How many believe that the Word of God has told us that there's not going to be one rock on this earth here, one stone stand on top of another? Amen. We know that this world's going to go through a great shaking, don't we? You say, well, I know there's going to be a great tribulation. You think that it's going to be just like a season, that it's winter time, and then all of a sudden you've got your coat on and your ice scraping on your car, and then you got your summer clothes on? We've had some weird weather, yes, but I mean, usually there's a changeover of a season. And I'm telling you, the signs are all here, brethren, of the changeover. And this thing's going to go back to the Jew. Now I'm talking about what's going on in America. But what's happening in Israel right now? What does it show? What does this ISIS show? What does this Hamas show? What are the people all breathing down on the borders of Israel show? We know exactly what it shows. This is bringing in the end, brothers. This is bringing in change. Well, you know, I used to go to church when I was a little boy, and I used to go to church when I was a little girl, and I went with grandma, and they said the end of the world. Hey, I could take you over here to the apostles that walked with Jesus. They're preaching the end of the world, wasn't they? And some of them had an end, didn't they? Come on now, some of you might have an end to your world tonight before you get home. So, you know, what is the end of the world? The Bible said world's without end. Come on now. Do you know that you say, well, I know that this earth is going to be done away with and be no more? The Bible said the earth abideth forever, but it's going to go through a change. Do you realize this earth is going to go through a metamorphosis? It's not going to be this earth that you see it now. You're not going to see this earth and the weeds and all the thistles and things that you see now. The earth will be restored. And then after the restoration of the earth, and then it'll go through a transfiguration. It goes through a threefold process. I can show you this in the Bible. And you say, well, what is it? What do you mean by a restored earth? Well, in the millennium, for the 1,000 years, the lion will lay down by the lamb. It's going to be this earth that you like as you know it now, but it's going to be different. A lot of the things that are corrupted now are going to be under salt water, because there's going to be a mass shaking in this earth come back upright on its axis. Okay, and when it comes upright on its axis, a lot of this landmass that you know and see today is going to be covered up with salt. Salt's a preserver. And some of the things that are under the salt now, this soil is going to come forth, and it's going to be a beautiful, rich place. And this is for the Jew. And it's to break the curse on mankind, because man has never lived more than 1,000 years. Methuselah is 969. So if Methuselah didn't make it to be 1,000 years old, that curse has got broken. Man's going to have to live beyond 1,000 to break that curse. And that's not the end of the matter. Then this earth will go through another metamorphosis. Or I say transfiguration, and it'll be like transparent gold according to the Bible. You see, that's the third thing. So now let's talk about you being the earthen vessel. You're the earthen vessel. You're the earthen vessel. How does this fit with me? You see, you run a parallel with this earth. Now, if you want to talk about baptism, I can show you that this earth baptized with water. And then the Bible talks about fire, where this whole earth will be engulfed with fire. And it's going to happen in the judgment. It's going to be purged as of by fire. It's going to come up on its axis, and it's going to be reformed. It's going to be changed. Now, let's talk about you, the earthen vessel. John the Baptist said, there's going to be one that comes after me that'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what he said, wasn't it? So who is he talking about? Jesus. He baptized us with fire. What does this fire do? It purges us, and it brings us upright. You see, man was fallen on its axis. Man was tilted on his axis in the fall at the garden. Okay, when woman transgressed against God, being Eve, she believed the deceiver, the master of deception came and deceived her. Okay, and she, being in this fall, this put mankind on its tilt. Okay, so now through being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and being purged as of by fire, he brings us upright. So we find this man right now transformed by the renewing of our mind, transformation of mind, the Bible says. We transform our minds, we come upright. So we walk in the newness of life as a child of God, a born again man of God. We love people, do good to them to despitefully use us. And we go about doing the Father's business, seeking after others' well-being and seeking, because what? We're transformed into a new mind, the mind of Christ, and we love people and we're helping people. But see, is that the end of the matter? Is this what God's looking for, what we are today? No. What he's looking for is to take your body through the metamorphosis. You could read it in the scriptures. It's called the transfiguration. Jesus went on the mountain of transfiguration and he shined exceedingly bright. And we find that Moses and Elijah, you know, come on the scene right there with him. Come on now, this is the Bible. Go read about the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah come on the scene there with them. And you see, and this is what Jesus done before the crucifixion and resurrection. And he shined like this. What was he showing us? He was God walking among men in the earth. That's what he came to show and what he came to do. When he was, before he was crucified, when they asked him at Lazarus' tomb, he said, I am the resurrection. Now, what are we? The Bible said we're the children of the resurrection. We got to know who we are and what we are. We're sons of God. We're born again. We're the children of the resurrection. We're new creatures in Christ. The Bible said that we have passed from death unto life. Come on now. That's what it says. We passed from death. The last enemy of God was death, the Bible says. We're sons of God. Do you realize that we cannot die? Come on. Does anybody believe that in here? I can't die. Why? Because I'm born of God. Well, what happens if somebody walked in the door and blasted your brains all over that pretty picture back there, preacher? And I said, someone's going to have to clean it up. But that's not death. The Bible said absent from the body is present with God. Now, how are you going to call that death? The second death, brethren. There is a second death. And the Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So what are you going to do with twice dead? The same thing I'm going to do with twice born. Born again. Twice born. Twice dead. You see, there's a mirror to both sides. Now, saying that, this is why I went over and spoke, for I could read some scripture to you real quick. Matthew 27:15, we'll give Chuck, put it up on the board. It says, now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ. Now, so he gave him a choice. We know what happened. We know that the mobs were screaming, give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. And they took and they crucified our Lord and our God. So here I go over to something taking place in your nation. And you say, I don't see where you're taking some little action happening over here in Heartland or in Missouri and making some kind of a revelation out of it. Well, I'm really not. I'm saying, if the Bible says in Romans 1:20 again, it said the unseen things of this invisible world are revealed by the things which do appear. Now, you know, you tell me what that means. I understand what that means. It goes, talks about the Godhead and some different things. Now, if we could start seeing the patterns out of the abundance of the heart, what the Bible says, the mouth speaketh, right? So where did this voice come from? Come out from the abundance or out from this heart? Okay, and the Bible says that a man's heart's continually evil and wicked and divisive, and a man doesn't even know his own heart. I paraphrase a lot of things, but you can go find this in the scriptures. Okay, I'm not maybe speaking exactly verbatim of how it's quoted in the word, but that's what it says. You go look it up. Just take your little concordance tonight and go look, and you're going to find that man has an evil heart. And people say, well, God loves me, and he just looks on my heart. And I said, your heart's going to put you in hell. You know, and I'm not mocking. But I'm saying, don't trust your heart, trust his word. Follow not your heart, follow the word. The Bible said we're led by the Spirit of God, not led by your heart. Your heart's evil and wicked and divisive. And it's full of mischief, the Bible says. So why would you follow your heart? Your heart will put you in hell. And if God just looks on your heart, you're in trouble. You better be glad that he's looking through the blood of his Son, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and he sees you perfected once and for all by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And he looks at you as a finished product of his works. Amen. Not yours. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Serving a mighty God. So now, If the Bible says that the last enemy of God to be conquered is death, okay, and Jesus came and he said, what was the last thing he said? He said, it's finished. Is that right? That's what he said. He said, it's finished, right? Well, what was finished? Death had been abolished. He gave up the ghost and the spirit that was within him. Tell me something about that spirit. It was the spirit of the Father. Because Jesus, when he was walking, and Philip came up to Jesus. You can go over and read it for yourself. And Philip asked Jesus, he said, hey, you know, when will we see the Father? And Jesus looked at him and said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? He said, I and the Father are one. He said, the Father's within me and I'm within the Father. Now we could stop right there. So you're saying Jesus was the Father? Well, I'm saying the Spirit of the Father was indwelled in him in the fullness. Okay? And then the word goes on to say that the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ shall dwell where? In our mortal bodies. That's what the Bible says. So if it's the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus, can you say that I got the Father within me? Yes. And you say, well, but you got Jesus. I know. Let me finish. You see, let me go on here. Now, if it's the same Spirit that was dwelled in Jesus, said it will dwell in your mortal body and will change you in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. From mortal to immortal. From telestial to celestial. That's what the Bible says. Okay? So if this is something that's living in me and dwelling in me, and we say it's the same Spirit that dwells within Jesus. Well, when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, who was crying out? The Son of Man. Now listen to me. I told you you had to make yourself twain, didn't I? When we started out here, you got an inner man and an outer man. Now you can go read that in the Bible. Just go in your concordance, look up inner man and outer man, and you're going to find that in the scriptures and in the Word of God. Okay? Jesus made himself twain. Twain means two. Both Lord and Christ, both Son of Man and Son of God. Now there is a difference between the Son of Man and the Son of God. The Bible said the Son of Man learned obedience by the things he suffered. Well, why would God have to learn obedience by suffering? The man had to learn obedience by suffering. Now, the thing is how many of you believe God died on the cross of Calvary for your sin? Now, God is the Prince of Life. And see, God cannot die. The Bible said God cannot lie. You know why God can't lie? Because he's the Spirit of Truth. Well, if he's the Spirit of Life, he can't die. Well, then what died on the cross? The Son of Man died. So we rend the veil between the Son of Man and the Son of God. And the Son of Man cried out, my God, why is that forsaken? Because the Spirit pulled away from him, and it was the Spirit of Man. Now, you've got a spirit, and I've got a spirit. I also have a body, and I also have a soul. Now, some people don't know how to differentiate between the body, soul, and the spirit. Between the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost. Between the natural, physical, and spiritual. Between the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. And you say, what is this, New Age? Let me tell you something. If you know anything about New Age, this is 10 billion miles from New Age. I'm talking the Word. I'm not talking New Age foolishness. The Bible talks about first, second, third heaven, body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. The Bible says over in 1 John 5, it said the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, it said these three are one. These three are one. That's what it says. And then it says water, blood, and spirit. It said these three agree in one. One has to do with an earthly witness. One has to do with a heavenly witness. Now, I teach on these things and try to explain these. You say, well, I just want to know about Jesus and him crucified. That's all I want to know. And I said, well, the devil knows that too. Now, I love the salvation story, but the Bible said not laying again the foundation of repentance. Go read it in Hebrews 6. Don't keep on laying the foundation of repentance. You know, you come to church, well, let me tell you, Jesus died for you. Let me tell you, he was resurrected for you. You need to get born again. Say the sinner's prayer. He said, we can't keep laying that. We got to go on. Amen. That's what the Bible says. We got to go on into perfection. I'm a teacher. The Bible said the pastor's got to be apt to teach. And we need to learn the Word of God, for we won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We got to get established in the Word of God. And we got to start walking like men of God. And we got to start pursuing and kicking the gates of hell down. We got to get out of our religious lukewarm vomit and walk around, well, I'm a Christian. Say, shut up and show me. Walk like a son of God. Talk like a son of God. You know, the Bible tells us that we got to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? What's the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh? The Bible said if you keep yielding your members to the flesh, you'll die by the flesh. But if we yield it to the Spirit, then we will live with Christ forever and ever. So we got to differentiate these worlds, brethren. So now if we see the things which appear, and we can understand what's going on in the visible dimension. So what's showing us in Ferguson? What do you show? What does your life show? What does it mean? Jesus looked at allegories, brothers and sisters, and patterns, and types, and shadows. He understood them. He said the kingdom of God is such. And he would explain the kingdom by natural things. He would explain the things about one being born again by about the seed going into the earth and dying. You understand that? Paul said, I show you a mystery. You know, that when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Not one in the spirit, said one in the flesh. You see, we need to understand what that means. Oh, it means that my wife thinks like me. Well, that would be wonderful. That would be really wonderful. That would be a miracle. If you get a woman to think like you, brother, you've done something, man, that God's been trying to do for 6,000 years. But who's the woman? I'm the woman. Come on now. You a transvestite, Brother Rob? No, what are you talking about? You believe in same-sex marriage, Brother Rob? Absolutely not. But I'm a woman. Now let me ask you this. The Bible said he's coming for his bride without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Has anybody read that in the Bible? He's coming for his bride. Okay, if I can't be the bride of Christ, then he's not coming for me. Is that right? So I better figure out in what dimension that I'm the bride of Christ. Can somebody tell me what dimension that is? What dimension? What realm? The soul realm. It have to be. Because the Bible said there's no male nor female in the spirit. So how could I say that spiritually speaking I'm the bride? I can't. So in the natural dimension, I'm a man. I got a wife. Okay, I'm married unto her. That's my wife. First dimension. Okay, relative to man. Now in the second dimension, all flesh is feminine. Man, woman alike, that's feminine. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. This is the part in the world, the greater part in sin, is showing the masculine. Paul said, I show you a mystery that when the man and the woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Now, let me tell you what that mystery is. I'm going to bring it forth to you right now. Mystery is a secret. So what he's saying is this. This inner quickening of the Spirit of Christ that lives within you, the one that's greater, is going to marry this outer part of you, the feminine part, the bride of Christ. He made the bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Now, if you'd listen for a minute, you'll get a revelation here. All right? A simple one, but still it's a revelation to many. The Bible said that ye that are born of God cannot sin. 1 John 3 said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. Why? I'm saying that. Why? It says, ye that are born of God cannot sin because his seed, Jesus' seed, his seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. What is the seed that is in you that keepeth you from sin? It said in 1 John 5, it said there's Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. These three agree in one, or are one. And it said water, blood, and spirit, these three agree in one. Okay, and what is the water, blood, and spirit there? Well, the water seed, an apple seed, you put it in the earth out here, what does it bring forth? Does anybody know? If I put an apple seed in the dirt out here, I could take it to you, read about that in Genesis. It said, let the seed which is in the earth, yielding fruit, bring forth after its kind. So an apple seed's going to bring an apple tree. Does anybody believe that? Okay, if you've never done it for yourself, go plant a peach tree. You know, don't look for bananas. Okay, look for peaches. Okay? Water, blood, and spirit. What's blood? This is the blood life. It's relative blood. You remove water from this world out here, it dies. Is that right? Trees will not produce fruit if you cut the water off. If it goes into a drought, they don't produce and things die. So it's relative to water. This is blood life right here. Blood life. You are a physical being. If I cut you and I pull the blood out of you, you die. You're relative to blood. There's a seed to the water world that recreates every time. There's a blood seed to the blood world called the semen, and it goes into the earth just like that seed, goes into the woman, and she reproduces after his kind. And if she marries a Negro man, she brings forth a Negro. If she marries a white man, she brings forth a white man. If she marries an Asian man, she brings forth an Asian man. It's not going to bring anything different than that. Okay, so now you're seeing the pattern of these two seeds, right? Now what about the seed that remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin? Where'd that seed come from? We're the bride of Christ in the second dimension, the soul realm, second dimension, second heaven. First, second, third heaven, you need to understand this. And we are bringing this, he, by the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary, he shed his blood and cleansed this and made you pure and whiter than snow, pure as a chaste virgin. Why a virgin? Because our God, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, is not going to go into a relationship with a whore or anything that has been touched. It's going to be something pure, something clean. And it's a virgin that Jesus prepared for him. And then we're going to go into a relationship being the bride. The Bible said the woman saved in childbearing. He saved mankind for he could bring forth after himself. And then we receive the seed. 1 John 3, we receive this seed. We're born of God. And this seed brings forth the sons of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Well, Brother Rob, let me ask you a question. Are you a son of God or are you the bride of Christ? Jesus made himself twain, both son of man, both son of God. You have to make yourself twain. So in your masculine flesh, brother, oh man, I'm tough. Tough guy, right? You're feminine. At your very best strength, you're weak. The woman, the weaker vessel. Brother, get out of your masculine mind thinking that you're something. Realize that you need a God. You need a Savior. You need salvation. You need God to help you, because Satan will tear you into pieces if you don't get something greater in you, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to close with this. Just trying to lay you down a little bit of a pattern to try to understand these different dimensions, for you can quit walking in your carnal mind. Now, what's wrong with the carnal mind? The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. Okay? So the way you think will kill you. Now, what did I preach on Sunday about the difference between a confession and a profession? Come on now. And you need to have a confession that you're a sinner, yes, but you need to have a profession that you're a son of God. And you're going to have to realize, you know, that it's okay that when the doctor says, hey, dude, you're dying of cancer, it's okay to confess, hey, the doctor said I'm dying of cancer, but let me profess something that my Savior said, that he is my physician, and that nothing's impossible for him, and greater is he than that physician over here. And I say by his word that I am healed by the stripes of Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and I say that cancer is a lying vanity, and I have not in the name of Jesus Christ. I profess healing. Amen. And then all of a sudden, the cancer goes away. And you say, well, I've never seen that. I have. I've been cured of two diseases that are incurable. Two. Well, whoopee-doo-doo. And I said, yeah, praise God to you too. I'm just telling you, it's been vindicated to me that the Lord is real. Amen. And his grace is sufficient. And we need to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God. And we need to get out of our religious ignorance. You could be like the Sanhedrin that sat in there with the high priest when he smote my Lord and Savior across the face, and you could have been praising him. You could have been the one that was right there yelling, nail him in! Drive them nails in his hand! Yes, sir. You could have been the one that was screaming, give us Barabbas! And you say, well, that happened 2,000 years ago. No, it's happening today. It's happening today. The people are calling evil good. The sodomites and the perverts and the homosexuals are saying, don't you call this perversion. We're gay. We're happy. We're gay. It's an alternate lifestyle. No, it's a perverted lifestyle. It's filth. The Bible said it's an abomination. So don't yield to that stuff. Well, I know some really nice queers. You know, you don't know such a thing. Let me tell you something. If you loved them, you would preach the gospel to them. Had two lesbian women sitting right back there about where Brother Dan's sitting. You know, I loved them. Welcomed them in the church. I was down there preaching in Georgia. I said, bring the homosexuals in. I'll hug them. I'll love them. Hey, I love them. I want to help them. They need salvation just like the drunk does, just like the whore does. You understand that? I'll take and embrace him. And I did. They brought him right up to see if this preacher would lie or not. They brought him up, and I said, he was shaking. I said, come here and let me give you a hug. I said, I love you, brother. We just had one give his life to the Lord down there in the camp meeting. Well, didn't. Just in the last few weeks, a homosexual come in, gave his life to the Lord. He's been coming to church trying to serve God. Isn't that wonderful, brethren? Come on, let's give God a hand. Amen. See, where the preacher gets upset is when the homosexual stands on his back feet and looks you in the eye and tells you that he's a child of God or born again. That's impossible. That's impossible. That's an abomination. That's why God said it's an abomination. You cannot be that. But it's the same way if you're a drunk, whatever. And you want to tell me you're born again? I say, no, the Bible said no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. Better stay with the word. Let's quit making it fit what we want. You say, well, Jesus loves everybody. That's a lie from hell. I can show you that in the Bible. Him and the Father are one. And he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. That's what the Bible says. He said, I'm angry with the wicked. I'll pursue them off the face of the earth. Amen. And when he told Judas, he said, when he took that sop, and he said, go and do what you got to do and do it quickly. And he said, it would have been better if that man had never been born. Come on now. Does that sound like love to you? And he said that when you run into me, it's going to be like a she-bear being robbed of her cubs or whelps. Come on, that's what the Bible says. And he said, I'll tear you into pieces. And then he went on to say, he goes, this is what I've done to my only begotten son, Jesus Christ. He beat him beyond recognition, plowed his back like a field, crammed thorns down over his head, and ripped his skull open, and jabbed him with a sword. And he said, if this is what I'm due to my only begotten son, how much more am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. We need to get out of this lukewarm vomit and quit saying that God loves everybody. He's sick of America. He's sick of Obama. He's sick of the cops in Ferguson. He's sick of the blacks. He's sick of the whites. And he's going to burn them all in hell. And he's bringing sudden destruction to your country, just like he did Israel. Now, I'm going to prove my point. Prove my point to you. His elect. Can anybody deny the fact that the Jews are God's elect? And we got that in the Bible. They're his elect. The Jews are God's elect. But then yet, out of all the elect that came out of Egypt and went out into the wilderness, God was so grieved with them and vexed because their murmuring plain, he opened up the earth, it said, and swallowed up so many thousand in one day. Those were his children. Those were his people. He was showing us a pattern, brethren. He flooded this world and he put eight people in a boat because one found faith with God and he put eight in there. And then he caught fire and brimstone and he only took four out. And over there, when those ones that came out into the thing and made it into Canaan, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb. The rest were youth that were under the age of 20 when they went into the wilderness. So I would have put them about 60 years old when they went in, but they were youth. They were youth when they went out and God gave grace to the children. But the elders, the earth swallowed them up. And Joshua and Caleb. So you find your patterns there, brethren. 8, 4, and 2. And this time, there's only one going to make it in America. I'm telling you this. Listen to me. There's only one that's going to make it. And let me tell you. And that's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure. You better make sure that you're part of this body. Amen. And let me tell you about this body. It's pure, it's holy, and it's godly, it's virtuous, and it's righteous. He doesn't have a filthy body. He doesn't have a body. The Bible said that friendship. Now listen, go read it in James 4. Friendship with this world. Friendship with this world, the Bible said, is adultery in God. Now listen to me. The Bible said no adulterer will make it into the kingdom. So the thing is, I make statements like this and listen to me and I say, thus saith the Lord. There will be people that will stand before God that the doctor could examine. They're physically a virgin. Never been in a sexual relationship. Man and woman alike. And they will go to hell as a whore and an adulterer. And you say, impossible. Now I'm going to prove to you what Jesus said. He told him, he said, when a man looketh upon a woman and lust after her in his heart, he's already committed adultery. And that man may have never had a physical thing, ever. That man could be an adulterer. That's the word of God. We got to let the word be true. And like the Bible said, let this word be true and every man be a liar. Let's don't put confidence in what mama said and daddy said or grandma said or this bishop or this one. Let's get confidence in one thing and one thing alone, and it's this Bible. And the Bible says the only way you'll understand this, it's got to be spiritually discerned. Now, where do you find this discernment at? It's a gift of God. And the church is teaching the people today that the gifts were for the apostles and it's done away with today? That tongues is of the devil? Come on now. Faith, is it of the devil too? The nine gifts, we think of faith and tongues, interpretations of tongues, healing. We think of prophecy, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge and discernment. Are these all of the devil? Come on now. These are the gifts for the children of God. And we need these gifts. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. This is what we need. The Bible said that man dies because of a lack of knowledge. They die and perish as men. He said, you are gods, but you die like men because you don't understand the word of God. Better get woke up and realize what this word says. Your life's just here for a moment. Here, the Bible said the man's like a flower. He comes up for a moment and he fadeth away. It's like the grass of the field. It says you're here just for a minute and all of a sudden you're gone. It says you're like a vapor in a mist. It's just a vapor for a moment. You ever been out in the fog or in the winter time and you breathe out and a little vapor goes out? Keep watching for it. It's gone. It dissipates real quick. That's your life. Your life's nothing. It's vanity, vexation of the spirit. Solomon, one of the wealthy of all, got more riches and more things like that. And he looked it all over and was said and done. He goes, it's all vanity. It's all vexation of the spirit. This world is here for a moment. It's temporal. It's a curse. Let me tell you what else the Lord said in the Word. You know the day that little pretty baby was born of yours? Huh? I'm a grandfather, come on. And that day that little baby grandson was born, and a little baby granddaughter. He said, that's the day of mourning. But the day of one's death is the time to rejoice. Why would our God say that? Why did Jesus say this in the New Testament? I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to put a sword between the mother and the father and the son and the dad and the mother-in-law. Read it for yourself. And you think you know Jesus? He said, but I come to bring a sword. And he said, woe unto you that holds the sword back from blood. You say, man, you're sounding like a Muslim, Brother Rob. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. This ain't my word, it's his word. I just hadn't believed it, every bit of it. You see, when you're more in concern about being in relationship with your natural daddy and it hinders you to be one with your heavenly father, that's why he came to bring a sword between the father and the son, or the father and the son-in-law. Because let me tell you something, he's got to be the preeminent one. He said, if you love your own wife or your mother or your father or your children more than him, he said, you're not worthy of me. You better start learning about what his word says. You just pick and choose what you want. Oh, Jesus died for me, praise God. Oh, he said, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You forgot the part where he said, believe in your heart. He, you confessed with your mouth, but did you believe in your heart? When your heart is divisive, the Bible says, or deceitful, and a man doesn't know, you just think your heart believed? The Bible said that when you believe, brother, now listen. Listen to me. You say, I love God. You know what the Bible said if you love God? You say you love God, you might be infatuated. Do you know what love is? The Bible said when you love God, you keep his commandments. Come on now. Do you keep the commandments of God? Oh, what's under the blood? Are you trampling the blood of Jesus under your foot? It said we don't take it to the occasion of the flesh. And when you take the blood of Jesus to keep living fleshly, to keep doing what you want to do, you will perish and die and go to hell. Let's stand together. I can preach to you all night. I was just getting warmed up. I was having a good time. You have a good time, Brother Bo? How about you, Dan? Amen. I love y'all. Thank you for giving me adequate time to bring the Word of God to you. I challenge you in the name of my Lord and Savior, you that are viewing. I got people calling from many states asking me questions about what I'm preaching. I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus, prove me wrong. Get in your Bible and prove me wrong. And I'll come back on here and I'll stand before the people. I'll write apology letters and things like that. But I challenge you in the name of the Lord, you will not prove me wrong. Because I stayed within the guidelines of the Bible tonight. I know if I would have took time to brought every scripture and had Chuck put it on the board of everything I was talking about tonight, you were thinking I was taking too long now, but we'd have been here till 3 o'clock in the morning going through every single word. But that's your obligation, like the Bereans. You're going to have to take, and you're going to have to get in the scriptures and get in the word. But I challenge you. I had a man over in Arkansas challenge me in the Bible. And he said, man, he was so mad at me. He said, I didn't like him. Well, I came back a year later to preach again. And he got up in front of the church. He said, you know, I didn't like Brother Rob. And he said, I went home. He made me do some of the most intense Bible study I've ever done. And he said, the purpose I was doing to prove him wrong and to show I wanted to come back and get in that evangelist's face and tell him that he's wrong. And he went and searched. He said, the more I dug, the more I found out he was right. Amen. Brother Paul said, you know, there was a time that you would have plucked your eyes out for me. And he said, now you want to kill me for preaching the word of God to you. Amen. But let me tell you, brethren, we got to preach the word of God. And we're going to preach the word and fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with his word. This ain't about me. This ain't about Christian Temple. Brethren, we're just a small little church here. This is about the word of God. And it's my calling to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's my obligation to bring the good news and glad tidings about Jesus to you. It's my obligation to teach you. The Bible said the pastor be apt to teach you this word. For you get out of the foolishness about running and beating at the air and accomplishing nothing. Brethren, I've got enough of my life wasted from Satan and his influences. You understand that? He's shrewd. He'll come and take your life. I watched my dad at 70-some years old sit over there and cry. I said, son, I sought after a career, and I ran after a career, and I didn't raise my sons. I got one dead and another one in prison. You know, and he was crying. Man, I lost my chance, he thought. Man, devil will rob you and rob your life. And take your life, you have nothing. I don't care if you're 10, 20, 40, 50, 60. Surrender to God and give him your all. And get out of your ideology and your human reasoning. Quit trying to think you know something. And say, God, here I am. I know nothing. I need you. I know that much. I need your help, Jesus. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. You understand that you're not going to impress him with what you know. The only way you'll impress him is by saying, here I am, Jesus, take me, here it is. The Bible said, give your life as a reasonable, it's just your reasonable service. Give your life as a living sacrifice, that's just your reasonable just service. Reasonable. Just reasonable. You ain't done it. Well, I went to church Sunday. Cock-a-doodle-doo. There's a lot of people in church on Sunday going to hell. Mm-hmm. The churches are full of heathens. Mm-hmm. It's a little flock, the Bible said, small flock, few be there that find it. Well, you think I got to be here at Christian Temple to make it? No, I don't think that way at all. But I do know one thing. You got to be in the same heaven that this preacher's in.
Amen.
If you're going to make it into the kingdom. You understand? And he said that when he left, he said that he's going to take us and hide us away with him. And I know where he's at. I know where heaven's at.
Yes.
You understand that? Have you been there?
Yep.
Amen. Praise God. You say, oh, if heaven's something in the future. Well, who told you that? Do you find that in your Bible? Do you find that in your word? Jesus is in heaven. He said, I've never left you and forsake you. So if he's in heaven, did he have to leave heaven to come to earth? Where is heaven? Where was he at when he appeared with Moses and Elijah? No, both of them, the brethren, were gone, wasn't they? But they appeared right here on the earth.
That's right.
What about the great cloud of witnesses that are round about us and camped around about us all the time? What about when these spirits, when you take and you lay hands on a man and you cast the devil out, and it said that the spirit will leave that man and go out into the dry places and looking for a place of inhabitation, and he'll come back to that man. Where was that spirit at, brethren? Where is hell at? Where is heaven? Is it a planet out there somewhere? And you say, well, heaven's up. I know that much. Okay, well, if I'm pointing up this way, what about my Japanese brother down there and he's pointing this way? Is it his up or my up? Come on now, I'm not trying to confuse you, brethren, but it's simple. When you get your eyes opened up through the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and get filled with the Holy Ghost and get your carnal, humanistic reason out of the way, you'll find out that we're dwelling in heavenly places. Amen. And where two or three come in his name, he's in the midst. Amen. And brethren, let me tell you, I'm walking in the peace and satisfaction of heaven and eternity. And you're going to see it one day. The Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. The world doesn't see it. They don't know who you are, the Bible goes on to say. But it said when he appears, you're going to appear just like him, and they're going to see you as you always were. That's why the Bible said now we are the sons of God. Amen. I'm not waiting to become a son of God. I am a son of God.
Amen.
Born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking in the Spirit of God. Read it in 1 John 3. Maybe you ought to go read that tonight when you get home. God bless you. I love you. Let's sing because I'll keep preaching.
I could not pay.
I got a couple that's on their way here right now. They're driving 2,650 miles to get here for marriage counseling. They're going to be here Thursday or Friday. More like Friday. You say, somebody drive that far, fam? Hey, what's your marriage worth? Come on now. You got that much wisdom? I got no wisdom, but I know one that does. I know one that knows how to put marriages together that the devil can't rip them apart. Amen. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you call yourself a Christian, you're going to say, I'm not going to let you ruin my marriage. I'm not going to let you destroy it. Amen. And I drive 2,800 miles. Amen. Hallelujah. But he just got a call. He's in Oklahoma City, and his uncle, they found, has prostate cancer, and he's asking for prayer. Amen. Can we pray in the name of our Lord and Jesus, the prayer of faith, amen, and believe that God could touch his uncle, amen, and touch his body, amen, and heal him of these things? Come on, brethren, we believe that our God is a healer. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He did not owe, I owed a debt. I could not pay, I needed someone.
Thank you, Lord. I knew who that someone is. He was my Lord and Savior Jesus. He took my sins and took them away. Thank you, Lord God. Do you love him? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Again, you that have tuned in, I'm not offended when you ask me questions. I'm not offended when you challenge me. I'm not offended when you tell me I'm wrong. If you tell me I'm wrong and I say, then you got something that's right and you got the answer. If you're going to tell me I'm wrong, I want to hear the answer. I want to hear the solution. I want to hear the Bible. That's what I want to hear. I want you to go into the Word of God and show me. And as I tell many people, I say, if you're going to challenge me, I want you to know what I'm speaking in, what dimension. Am I speaking by the first, second, or third heaven? Am I speaking as a man or am I speaking by as a son of God? Which way am I talking? You think as a man, and I'm going to be in a lot of error. But you start thinking like a son of God, you're going to say one thing. Yea and amen. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Amen. How many sons of God do I got in here tonight? Amen. Come on, praise the Lord. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm being filled with His Spirit. Amen. I pass from death unto life. I can't die. Hallelujah. I'm eternal in the heavens. Glory be to God. That's something to be excited about. I couldn't find that when I was smoking dope. I couldn't find that when I was putting a needle in my arm. But I found it in Jesus. Amen. I found all things in Him. He's my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And you say, oh, that's what happened. You must have ruined your mind with the drugs. Let me tell you something. I gave my mind up for I could get his mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That thought of not robbery to be equal with God. That's the mind he wants in your head. He wants you to come into the mind of Christ. Read it in the Philippians there, the second chapter. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Amen. Jesus, you want to be in that mind? That's the mind you want to be in. You love Jesus? Amen. Let's sing All Praise Him. Brother Lambert's heading out on Friday morning, going to be in service with Brother Jesse Schutz there in Humboldt, Tennessee. He'll be with them there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He'll be traveling through Monday, Tuesday of next week. Keep him in prayer, brethren. Come on. This is one of our brethren going out to encourage another brother. You know, you think about these letters that were written to Ephesus, or written over here to Corinth, the children over there, the Corinthians. Think about these letters that are written, these epistles. Here's a brother going to go over and encourage another brother. You see, brethren, we need to pray and trust. Amen. If you want to share a little bit with Brother Jonathan, I could take up an offering tonight for you to share a little with him. We got another brother going to be in here, I think, Friday night. A brother Lackey is supposed to be coming over. Brother, but he'll be with us Friday. We'll try to help. Brother Makoka right now is in Singapore having some problems. They're trying to, you know, they're telling him that they're not going to extend his visa and are trying to send him back to Africa right now. And so I'm kind of watching and listening for the report and things. And I'm all for supporting brethren in the field, brethren. But the thing is I don't pay for ministers to travel abroad because they lose faith when you do that. Let me tell you, we pray the prayer of faith. And pretty soon they don't pray the prayer of faith. They call up Brother Rob. Mm-hmm. Hey, I need some help. Hey, I need some finances. Hey, I need an airplane ticket. Hey, I need this. I've had ministers come in here and missionaries saying, hey, could you put us on your pledge list and pledge $100 a month? I said, absolutely not. You know, when you pledge $100 a month, you know what they get? They get mailbox-minded instead of heavenly-minded. Right. And they're looking every month for that money to be in that thing. Well, don't you believe in support? Let me tell you, this little church, church 1 year put over $90,000 in the mission field in 1 year. $90,000, a little handful of people like this. And let me tell you what Benny Hinn done that same year. Not that much. And he took in so many hundreds of thousands of dollars. We put over half just in the mission field of what came into this little work. And that wasn't counting the stuff we were doing here and the buildings and all the different things that were going on.
God's good.
When the brother looked at, we went and built him a home down there and set a home up, had Grace Temple help us. And we went down and bought the lands and the properties, and we stayed with it for several years after that, making the payments on it and got those things done. And he looked at a picture of this little church and he said, "Y'all done that? Is that your mission group?" I said, "No, that's the whole church." You see, don't limit yourself what you could do and what God could do. Don't get mailbox-minded. Don't get government-minded. Don't get food stamp-minded. Don't get career-minded. Get God-minded. Amen. And you can do all things through Christ. There's no limitations. Amen. We can't limit God. Amen. Let's sing. I'll praise Him. Amen.
And I
will praise Him. Little Brother Micah. Where's Isaiah? Brother Isaiah, come get this offering basket right here. Let's take up an offering for Brother John as he's getting ready to travel. Heavenly, gracious Father, I ask you to bless this. I know, Father God, that this finances would never be enough to meet the needs, but knowing that you are a mighty God. And Father, as you added an increase to loaves and fishes, Lord God, Father, I ask you to add an increase to whatever this be. Meet this brother's needs, Lord. Keep him safe in his travels, his family safe. Father, in the roads, ways, that, Lord God, open up the heavens, Lord God. Let the mind of Christ, the revelation of our Lord, minister through this brother. Let him encourage this flock of people, Lord God, there in Humboldt, Tennessee. Bless them, anoint them, make a way for them, Lord God. And again, keep them safe in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead, little brother.
We'll praise Him. I will praise Him.
Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
We love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you just praise Him for a moment? Tell Him that you love Him. Tell Him that He's your Lord. He's your God. He's your King. He's your everything. Hallelujah. Brother Whitlow's supposed to be back tomorrow. I haven't heard too much more. Pray, Lord, keep His hand upon him. Others that aren't here this evening, pray for my wife not here with us this evening. God's got His hand on her. Everything's fine, but just pray. Ask God to help, touch. Thank you for laboring with the printing, literature, and things. And gonna get back in the print room here real quick. I got a little behind again, but we'll get these things caught up soon. Pray for us. We need your prayer. Again, we appreciate Brother Lambert, Brother Joel, and his wife. Y'all come back and see us. Amen. Y'all love the Lord. But before we close, as we sing this song, if you have need of prayer, the Bible said if they're sick and afflicted among you, let them come forward in the church and let their elders anoint them with oil, and they shall be healed. Amen? You believe that? I do. Hallelujah. You believe in healing? I do. Amen? And you say, well then, how come there's sometimes sick people around? Well, some couldn't even let Jesus do it. He said there wasn't many miracles wrought there in Nazareth. Why? Well, he's just a carpenter's son. You look and say, oh, he's just a man. Nah, I'm a son of God. Amen. With all power and authority. Amen. He gave me the power to remit sin. Do you realize that? I can show that to you in the Bible. He gave you and I the power to remit sin. Why? Because we're sons of God. See, they got mad at Jesus when he said that, but we're his children. And he said in his word, this is what Jesus said. He said, go ye into all the world, baptizing them. Come on now. Isn't that what he said? Why do we baptize them? For the remission of sin. That's what he asked us to do. Sin is the sting of death. And if we don't take their sin away, you say, well, Jesus done that. Well, we got to bring that news to them and let them know what he done. And then we baptize them. And this is, we do it as an action of faith in what he done. We can't do anything without Jesus. But I'm telling you, we're his children. And he said, go out there and baptize them in Jesus' name. Amen. For they could have their sin remitted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Brother Manny. Brother Emmanuel. We'll get him to come out and dismiss us. Hallelujah. Come back with us Friday. Plan on being with us Sunday. Pray for these ones traveling. Prayer request. I love you. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.